What's going on, man?
Why do you always laugh when I come on?
Because, you know, you're...
Is my hair messed up? Is my hair bad?
No, because I always have to ask if you know, if you're ready to go. I know you go through hair and makeup. You know, you've got a whole green room experience over there in Kingsport.
I go through hair and makeup.
How's the day?
We had a busy day. Very good day.
Yeah, are you exhausted? Are you up for this?
No, I was pretty tired when I got home, but no, I'm good.
You're ready to roll. I can tell. Guys, I'm going to go ahead and remind you, if you got a question for Doc, we're going to go through the first couple questions that came in throughout the week on, you know, Instagram or through email. But we're taking live questions for the majority of the show. So go ahead and put those in the comment section, whether you're on Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn. You want to jump right in, or you want to do some small talk? I feel like we got to...
Let's jump right in.
You're warmed up and ready to go? Yeah.
How was your day? Did you get to walk around the park?
Well, let me see. I'm going to check my steps here. I don't think you guys are going to be super proud of me. 6026.
That's not real good.
Not my best day.
How many steps did you take in Italy during a typical day?
I think my top day was 25,000.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
It's a lot of walking.
It's a lot of walking. I didn't walk much today. But when I got out, I made sure to like make it a walk. I went to the West Knoxville office and I had to deliver some skincare, and we had a whole bunch of the Dr. Rogers formula vitamins to get in that office, and I parked like way far away because I knew at that moment, that was this afternoon, and at that moment I had like 500 steps, and I knew the show was coming up, and I was like, dude, you're an embarrassment to the performance medicine community.
We had a good walk at lunch. It was very windy today, but we still walked. Yesterday, we had to walk in the mall at lunch. You know,
was it storming or just windy?
It was very cold and windy, just miserable. So today was better, although very windy.
It's been a
we always try to walk at lunch. That makes your day.
I'm gonna go ahead and jump into a Berberine question, if that's cool with you. And I see Rachel's got a great question. We're gonna get to that. If you guys have questions, go ahead and put those in the comments. This one was one I missed last week, and I'm super bummed I missed it because I love this question. And Berberine is something that we talk a lot about with, I believe, insulin resistance, along with metformin or as an alternative. What is the difference between berberine versus dihydroberberine?
I haven't used dihydroberberine, but I have heard of it. I'm pretty sure it's just more of a water-soluble form of berberine. Sometimes people get upset stomach with berberine, not nearly to the effect that metformin would, but some people will get a little upset stomach on berberine. So they made this dihydroberberine, which I haven't checked out personally, to try to ease the stomach burden that some people have with it. Again, berberine usually doesn't bother your stomach, but it can, especially if you really react on your stomach to metformin, the prescription drug that this is supposed to be very much like, and it is. But so I think it may be apparently more tolerated on some people's stomachs, but I don't think that any study has ever shown it's more effective in controlling sugar levels as the regular berberine. But so mainly because probably easier on your stomach is what I think. Better absorption, probably not, just easier on your stomach.
Super interesting. I know that matters, though. You know, like if you can't tolerate something, you're going to go with what
you... So if you can't tolerate berberine, try it. Yeah, that could be a good choice.
Great question there. Thank you for being patient with me on that question. Let's get to the next one here. I just want to confirm what I think I heard you say last week. You count one scoop of perfect aminos as 30 grams of your protein intake for the day. This is in regards to the Common Sense MD episode on protein.
Yeah, that's about right. You know, it equals to about 30 grams of protein without you know, maybe 2 calories in it. So it's a good low calorie way to get your some grams of protein. Again, you need a lot more than 30 grams for the day. I like at least a pound or a gram per pound of body weight for protein, more if you're working out a lot. So yeah, I mean, I really like Perfect Aminos. I think it's easily digestible. It has all the ones that you really need, the essentials, and it also is safe for your liver and kidney. You know, a lot of people even on dialysis, you could probably take this stuff. You know, your nephrologist may not even know about it, but it won't interfere with your dialysis as a way of getting some protein in there, because people on dialysis have a hard time with proteins, but this might be a safe alternative. I'm not saying go do it and not tell your nephrologist about it if you're on dialysis, but yeah, that's about equal to 30 grams of your protein intake. And I love it. I mean, I take it every day. I've got a new thing that I do before I work out in the morning. I get a tall glass of filtered tepid water, not cold water, just room temperature water. And I put 8 to 10 drops of methylene blue in a scoop of Perfect Aminos, and I drink it down before I work out.
Is that in addition to you blasting Led Zeppelin, kind of firing yourself up?
Yeah, when I get down to my basement workout room, I do kind of turn on a little Led Zeppelin.
I love it. I'm going to put this up. This is kind of a follow-up question, and you just answered it, but I want to put it up here. Do you take this scoop before or after your workout? It seems various things are on the Perfect Aminos website.
Yeah, I do it before, but a lot of people will do it after the workout as well.
Yeah.
You can do both, especially if you get a hard workout. You probably ought to do another scoop afterwards. Mm. I mean, a lot of people take more than 2 scoops a day of this. It's not going to hurt you.
Yes. I mean, that was kind of the big message, I think, you know, from your episode last week and the article that went along with it was, you know, you're probably not getting enough protein in. And we talk a lot about carbs and good fats, but protein, it seems we're going to talk more and more about. So thank you for those questions around Perfect Aminos. This is a BHRT question. Is Activella a synthetic HRT or bioidentical? What are your thoughts on this?
It's really both. So that, to me, that makes it synthetic, but Activella is, it's a medicine that's a combination of estradiol, which is bioidentical, but it has norethindrone in it, which is the synthetic progestin that I never use. It's also norethindrone is one you see in birth control pills a lot. So it's not a bioidentical. It's a synthetic. So I like the bioidenticals better. That's what I use. So I never used it. I never use it anymore. I have used it in the past. I think it used to come in a patch called the Combi patch. That was way before I knew about bioidentical hormones. You know, bioidenticals are just much safer, and we use them.
All right. That's interesting. I hadn't heard of Activella, so I'm really glad
that it's for menopause. It's for menopausal symptoms. Yeah. I'd probably take that over nothing, but certainly I don't like the synthetic progestins.
All right. Thank you for that question. Came over email. This is a question around early stage of liver disease cirrhosis. What does doc recommend for someone with early stage of liver disease / cirrhosis? I'm not an alcohol drinker, nor have I ever been. What's your thoughts on this? How would you approach it?
Yeah, you maybe have fatty liver, which is very common, which all has to do with insulin resistance. You know, if you read Dr. Fung's book, you know, I actually read a couple of his books this past weekend. It's so interesting. He's a nephrologist. Well-known nephrologist, and he's really good with nutrition. Yeah, the diabetes code, the obesity code. Dr. Jason Fung is legendary in my circles. But so, yeah, I mean, it's probably non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, probably, I mean, there's some other weird things that can cause that, like primary biliary cirrhosis, but which is a bad actor. But the things I would do is, number one, don't start drinking alcohol. And look at the medications you take that may cycle through your liver. Most of them do. Don't take any Tylenol. Take milk thistle, get in an infrared sauna, sweat, and just follow it really closely. And, you know, I wouldn't worry about eating good fats. I'd still eat good fats, even if you have a fatty liver. But I would not eat sugar and those type of things, because insulin resistance is what causes non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, believe it or not.
Interesting.
Yeah, milk thistles are good. You may even want to get some NAC, N-acetylcysteine, probably help you too.
Super interesting. Thank you for that question. Great answer there, Doc. I see my brother Steve is in the building. What's up, Steve? Great to see you. Luana with a great question there. Thank you for putting that in there around semaglutide. No, that's Rachel. Sorry, Luana's from Bluntville. Bluntville's in the building. Love it. Okay, this is a methylene blue question. We've talked a lot about methylene blue. We've put out a couple videos over on YouTube. We're getting a ton of questions. Can methylene blue raise your testosterone levels? If so, how? What pathway does it use? I ask because I added it to my regimen a couple weeks ago, 8 drops twice a day. I was due for labs and my T was 924. It was somewhere between 460 and 590 about 6 months ago. For context, I'm 69, moderately workout and take supplements. This is around methylene blue. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it can definitely raise your testosterone levels. I've never seen it raise it quite that much, but you know, it's known to decrease estrogen levels and decrease prolactin levels, but it can bump your T level up. I mentioned that in my last year's podcast about methylene blue, which I put several people on today. The pathway, you know, it is a hormonal regulator. You know, again, it cuts down on aromatization of testosterone to estradiol, and the way it works is really by, it increases your mitochondrial respiration. So it improves anything that, any gland you have that puts out a hormone, it will improve the function of it. And testosterone is no different. So we have seen that. That's an amazing jump. So congratulations. Again, testosterone levels move around a little bit, you know, hour by hour, depending on what time you take it. They're usually higher in the morning, lower in the afternoons, but definitely can raise your T level. So congratulations. That's amazing. I hope it makes you feel as good as I do. I've had several people tell me that after their first dose, they felt better mentally, you know, it's cognitively. So it's a great thing to take as far as your mental status. I think if you're getting dementia, definitely, you know, put people on that.
I'm going to put this up here from Kathy, just because it's regarding methylene blue, and it's just a topic we're talking a ton about. And Kathy's asking, what are you prescribing methylene blue for mostly in office?
Mostly energy, people that are chronically fatigued or people that have memory problems. They're worried about their cognition. I use it a lot for people that have long COVID, that have difficulty breathing, because it definitely helps open up your airways. Again, methylene blue is something every ER has to reverse carbon monoxide poisoning. They give it an IV in that situation. It turns it around instantly, saves lives. Same thing with cyanide poisoning. It reverses that. I also use it for people that have a lot of chronic UTIs, because it's definitely an antibiotic, it's an antifungal, it's an antiviral. Love it in post-COVID long haulers. Cognition, breathing, energy. It's really just a It's an amazing product. It's over the counter. Not many people really know about it, but it's really good.
Super interesting. Make sure you guys check out Methylene Blue Revisited, this most the most recent Common Sense MD episode on Methylene Blue. We're going to keep going here. I'm going to get to a question that just came in over email, and I'm going to read it to you, Doc, because it's a there is some context that's around it's pretty detailed. So let me go ahead and ask this to you, and this will be totally off the cuff. So if you don't want to answer this over the airwaves, we can disregard it and do this one-to-one. The question is, about 6 to 7 weeks ago, I got a very light case of COVID. About 3 weeks after that, I got pneumonia. They put me on Cefdinir 300 milligrams twice a day for 10 days. A couple days after I finished the antibiotics, I started having an ear pressure, started getting dizzy and nauseous. Went to ENT doctor. They found no infection and ears were draining fine. Now having terrible time with vertigo, ear ringing, which makes me dizzy and nauseous. I'm going to be evaluated by physical therapist for vertigo tomorrow. So the question is just, does anyone have any suggestions on how I can combat this vertigo is what the question gets down to. Any thought? Have you seen this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, post-COVID, we have seen it.
Leads to vertigo.
So they had, did they say they had COVID for sure? Mild case of it. And then 3 weeks later, they had pneumonia.
Yeah, it said.
You know, whenever you have one, whether it be a viral illness or bacterial or fungal, you know, you're more predisposed. Your immune system is kind of knocked back a little bit.
Yeah.
And it may have been a bacterial pneumonia, not a COVID pneumonia. It's hard to say. Mm. But you usually diagnose pneumonia with an X-ray. You had some complications. That's probably not the antibiotic I would have chosen, but maybe it did the job. Maybe it didn't. Maybe it's backing up on your ears. But the ENT doc said ears were clear. Yep. I guess you could have still had a sinus infection that maybe needed more prolonged treatment with antibiotics. And I probably would have put you on a round of steroids as well. And I would have definitely bumped your vitamin levels really high for a few days when you first came down with like 50,000 of D, 4,000 of C, of course, zinc, 50 to 100. It just sounds like you're going to see the physical therapist tomorrow because they're trying to rule out benign positional vertigo, which is when those hair-like projections, filaments in the inner ear kind of can get you off balance. That along with the crystals that line the inner ear can cause a lot of vertigo. So it's positional. They can put you through some maneuvers if they do see the nystagmus on your eye exam and kind of try to clear out that inner ear with some, Baronet or Epley maneuvers. Give that a shot and see if it helps. If it is BPV, benign positional vertigo, the physical therapist will be able to help, and they'll be able to tell kind of if you've got it based on your eye exam. Bring somebody with you because if you have these maneuvers, you don't need to be driving yourself home. But that's interesting. I have seen it. I've seen a lot of dizziness post-COVID. There are treatments for dizziness like antihistamines, Antivert. Sometimes we use low-dose Valium to calm down the inner ear. But a round of steroids may be in order. I don't know if your ears are ringing, if you've lost hearing or not, would typify Meniere's disease. So good luck tomorrow, and hopefully the signal sort out. Because being dizzy is not fun.
No, I hope everything turns out okay. Keep us posted. I hope that answers or I hope that gives you at least some hope there. It does seem like you've seen some vertigo kind of come in that order.
For sure.
So, so thank you for that question that came in over email. Let's get to, we got one more question here that came on Instagram. Then we're going to get to the live comments, guys. So if you got a question for Doc, go ahead and put in the comments. This is the Performance Medicine Show where we answer your health and wellness questions. This question came in over Instagram, and it's a very common one. It's around, you know, plateauing on Wegovy. And we see this quite a bit. I'm going to go ahead and kind of give context here. I've been on Wegovy since December and lost 15 pounds, but the last month on 1.7 lost nothing. I go up and down 3 pounds. Questions are, am I at a plateau? Is this my Hashimoto's? It seems they have a Hashimoto's. Or is the medicine just not working for me anymore? I have 40 more to lose. I'm counting calories and drinking lots of water. Help. So what's your thoughts here?
I mean, you could be at a plateau. You know, it's definitely could be plateau, and you can bump up the Wegovy a little bit higher, for sure, if you're tolerating it well. But that's not uncommon to plateau and go down in a stepwise fashion. Yeah, the other thing, hopefully you're not eating carbs. You know, I really look at what I'm eating, because in the end, that's going to be the answer, is less carbs, do intermittent fasting. But you need something to push you over that plateau. Drink more water like you're drinking. And the other thing is, you could consider, I've had people do that, and I've switched them over to Mounjaro, and it seems to help. If you look at my podcast from today, then I always pronounce that wrong. It's Mounjaro.
I think we need to have a vote on that. I've been saying Mounjaro. I think Kilimanjaro.
Yeah.
Mount Kilimanjaro. So Mounjaro.
Yeah, I think it's Jaro. Mounjaro. Look at my podcast today on that medicine. I think it's really probably more effective than Ozempic, which is Wegovy. With less side effects. So you may want, the problem with that is getting insurance to pay for it for weight loss. They just won't. Again, you can, I ordered several compounded doses of that today. But so do one of those things. Look at your diet real close. You're definitely, sounds like at a plateau, but you can break through that plateau. Could be, I mean, you know, your Hashimoto's could affect it. It affects a lot of things. In your gut, make sure your gut's doing well, and make sure all your blood work looks good for your Hashimoto's. It's not unusual to lose the weight more quickly at first because you've got more fat that's going to come off easier. So those are things I would think about, but it sounds like you're plateauing a little bit. That's pretty common. Don't get discouraged.
Yeah, and the other thing I've seen, just, you know, by through this show and seeing what you guys are doing in office, it still feels early to me for this person here starting in December. You know, people stay on this for, you know, well over 6 months. Is that not? Am I right? Am I on target?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, probably a lot longer than that.
Yeah,
I mean, this is really a chronic medication. You know, almost anything you do to lose weight, diets, medicines, whatever, you know, when you stop doing it, most of the time you gain the weight back because your body's got just an incredible way of maintaining homeostasis. So on a medicine like this, you probably, if you've got a real problem with your weight, you need to stay on it.
One thing I'll ask the people with us live tonight is, if anyone's had a success story with one of these GLP-1 medicines and you've seen weight loss happening after a plateau, let us know in the comments, because I want to give this person some encouragement here. I can imagine that it would be frustrating if you lose 15 pounds pretty quickly and then have a period of time where you're not losing much at all and you still have a ways to go. So if anybody in here has experienced something similar and kind of came through a plateau, put in the comments. I'll make sure that gets seen. Okay, let's move on to the live questions. If you guys have a question, go ahead and put it in. I don't think I missed anything. I know I pushed one question around a peptide to next week, so I'm going to get to that first thing next week. And now we're going to go to the comments. If you have a question for Doc, go ahead and put it in. If you're new to the show, welcome in. Welcome in, everybody, to the Performance Medicine Show. We do this weekly at Tuesday at 7, where we answer your health and wellness questions. All right, let's see here. Roel saying that the peptide videos have been great. Thank you, Roel. Thank you for checking those out. Let's see. One Step Four is talking about sourdough. What is the difference in sourdough bread and other than other bread, how would it affect a ketogenic diet? Other than, okay. So what's the sourdough bread difference and how would it affect a ketogenic diet?
Yeah, you know, I like sourdough bread. If you're eating bread, I like it because it just doesn't have the glycemic reaction that most breads do because it's fermented really. And those carbs don't get absorbed. It's still carbs though. So it's going to mess up a ketogenic diet for sure. That's funny you ask that because today I had a patient that, got some totally, gluten-free sourdough bread at the farmer's market this past weekend.
Really?
So yeah, they did. They said it was fantastic tasting. I need to ask Steve about if he makes his gluten-free.
I don't know. I'm sure there's a way to do it. That's super interesting. I never heard of that.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I probably wouldn't be eating any bread on a ketogenic diet.
Okay.
You can check your ketones is the way to check it, but I don't think it's going to keep you in ketosis.
All right. Thank you. One Step Forward over on YouTube. Let's get to T-Mac here on YouTube as well. Do you have an opinion on castor oil packs? I've been seeing interesting info about it. Thanks. What's your thoughts on this? Have you heard of this?
Castor oil is something they used to use all the time. It's just a good fat, you know, it's tastes terrible, but, you know, I'm all for it. You know, I think it's just a good fat. It has all kinds of healing properties. That's back in the day. I mean, gosh, I remember using it all the time back in is healing for things too. I don't know if you're talking about the packs that you're applying it to something or packs that you eat it, but castor oil is a pretty interesting product. It's probably okay.
Super cool. I love hearing all these new products coming in. So thank you, T-Mac, for putting this in here. I hadn't heard of castor
oil. Cod liver oil.
Interesting.
You know. That's pressed oil from the livers of fish.
Interesting.
Codfish.
Thank you for the question, T-Mac. Jasmine, our wonderful, amazing esthetician in the Knoxville area. She's in Fountain City as well as West Knoxville. Welcome in, Jasmine. Thank you for hanging out with us this evening. Let's get to Rachel's question, which is a really, really great question around semaglutide. What do you recommend to avoid constipation with semaglutide? Already taking DigestShield and magnesium supplements. Have you seen this before? Is this something?
Some people get constipated with it. Again, they're not eating a lot. You could increase your fiber if you tolerate fiber. Fiber makes some people worse. Mm. Drink a lot of water, exercise. My favorite thing for constipation is Dr. Schultz's intestinal formula, which we have in all our offices. We should. It works great. It's not a stimulant laxative. It's all herbal. So I would try that if the regular stuff doesn't work.
Mm. All right, Rachel, I hope that helps. Let's get to Jack here. Another methylene blue question. Is there any adverse effects of methylene blue that can be dangerous, or is it pretty safe to take for more energy?
I think it's very safe. There are a couple of caveats that you'll read about. One is that, it's a mild MOA inhibitor. So you have to be a little careful if you're using high doses of it and you're using SSRIs. are MAO inhibitors, antidepressant type medications, because of what's called serotonin syndrome, too much serotonin, which can cause, you know, bad cases of hypertension and nervousness, fevers, that kind of thing. I've never seen that. It's rare. And if you're taking a normal dose of, say, Zoloft or an SSRI, and a normal dose of methylene blue, then you don't have to worry about it. Now, listen to the guru down at University of Texas. He spent 30 years studying methylene blue, and he kind of poo-pooed the ideas that it's going to interact with SSRIs, especially at the doses you're going to be taking. I mean, I think the cases they saw that in were they were doing it in veins and mapping out for parathyroid surgery or something. So getting very high doses of it, you know, intravenously. But at the regular doses, I don't think you have any problem with that. There's one other kind of caveat that they say that should you get a G6PD blood test, you know, before you take it. Nah, not really. If you're going to take really high doses of it, maybe, you know, if I was using really high doses for Alzheimer's disease, I probably would, just for mainly for medical legal reasons. But, you know, G6PD, we've done some podcasts on that. You want to make sure you don't have that one in a million enzyme defect that could cause a hemolytic anemia with high doses of IV vitamin C. So if we're getting high doses of IVC, we always check a G6PD. Mm. It's rare. I've never seen a case of it. So, you know, I've checked a bunch of them. So it's, and again, you got to think, methylene blue is an over-the-counter medication. It's been here since 1867. They didn't know what a G6PD was or a SSRI back then. So, you know, methylene blue was the original hydroxychloroquine or chloroquine. It's an anti-parasitic drug. It kills malaria. It's just a multifaceted, amazing medicine that most doctors have never even heard of, unless you're an ER doctor and you reach for it for the carbon monoxide poisoning.
I'm going to put this up from Allison just because you've talked a little bit about the G6PD.
What I'm talking about.
Can you tell her, like, yeah, when it said, if you're taking methylene blue at high doses for Alzheimer's dementia, that, like, that's when you would do it? Or,
yeah, I mean, it can't hurt to just get a one-time G6PD test to make sure you don't have that enzyme defect. You know, it's just not as common over here as it is in Europe and Africa. It's still a pretty common mutation from what I read, but I've just never seen it. That doesn't mean that you can't cover yourself by taking a blood test for that. It's dirt cheap to get the test. And plus, you may want to get on some higher dose vitamin C at some point too. It's not a bad baseline test to get once. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm going to put this up from Misty. I stayed at a 52 to 54 pounds lost for a couple of weeks or so on Mounjaro. Now I am down 56 pounds, so I'm hoping I'm back to losing again. Congratulations, Misty. That's incredible. Super, super cool. Thank you for putting that in here. It seems you went through a little bit of a plateau and now back to losing. Keep us.
Yeah, that's what people can't expect to keep going down in a straight line. You're going to kind of pulse to a lower weight. You know, like I said today in my podcast, I think when Mounjaro comes out as a weight loss drug, kind of like Wegovy did for Ozempic, same stuff, it will be the biggest selling drug of all time. I'm not saying to go out and buy Lilly stock, but you know, it will be. Because usually when people like me know about it, everybody knows about it. So, you know, in the financial world, you know.
Yeah, there's no insider information, I don't think, around. I think everybody's thinking the same thing you are.
Yeah, I mean, by that time, usually the stock has already made its move. So,
thank you, Misty, for putting that in there. I'm going to get this question. Let's see, I feel like I missed it. There we go. Get this in here from Cherry. What flavor perfect aminos do you use? I see they have tablets and powders. Does one work better than the other? Start with what you're using.
I use a powder. I don't even know if it's flavored because it doesn't taste great. I don't think it is flavored. So there's not really much taste to it at all. Matter of fact, it may have a little bit of a bitter taste. Some people don't like the taste of it. Mm. I don't mind it at all. I just guzzle it down. But I like the powder because it's just a little scoop. And if you do the equivalent of taking the capsules, you have to take 8 capsules. So I prefer the powder. And like I said, I put a little methylene blue in there and drink it in the morning.
Yep. Super cool. Thank you, Cherry.
Doesn't break my intermittent fasting either.
That's interesting because it doesn't raise your blood sugar level.
No.
Super interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna put this up. Jasmine's in the building, as I mentioned, guys, and that means I need to put up this flyer here. We got Mother's Day specials for those who are joining us late. This is happening in all the offices. May 8th through 12th, Mother's Day specials. You can call any one of our locations to take advantage of these. Jasmine or my sister Kelly, we got Emily over in Kingsport, will take care of you with any of those medical aesthetic things there, services and product. So thank you, Jasmine, for hanging out with us tonight. Awesome. Let's see here. We've got, I'm going to put this up from Mama B's place. Thank you for the wonderful experience today with pellet insertion. She's ready to climb Mount Everest.
That is incredible. We had a good talk. We had a really good talk. It was fun.
Is she actually climbing Mount Everest?
That's a new one on me. I hope she does. She's ready. She's ready to climb Mount Everest.
She could.
She probably could. The way she looked today, she probably could.
I love it. I love it.
She's Mama B is awesome. We had a good time today.
And
I like to distract my patients when I'm doing a pellet, by talking about different things. And so they won't think, I'm getting a pellet, a little procedure, Yeah, you did great. She did great with it.
Well, it seemed super cool information about taking IV progesterone for TBI. That's interesting.
Yeah,
we might have to.
Yeah, if I had a traumatic brain injury, of course you're not gonna be able to request this, but IV progesterone in large doses is very anti-inflammatory for the brain.
Interesting.
I've shared this with a couple of my neurosurgeon buddies, and they agree. I don't think it's standard protocol, just like really standard protocol for sepsis should be IV vitamin C, but it's hardly ever done. But that's what I would want.
Super interesting. IV progesterone. I'm going to put this up here from Chuck because Chuck is my man, and he is absolutely doing amazing on Mounjaro. Been on Mounjaro since October and I've lost 74 pounds so far. No plateau yet. But here's a tip from Chuck. He's doing intermittent fasting and have cut sugar. That is incredible. I actually want to do and explain this episode with Robin around what it actually looks like on a day-to-day basis when you don't consume sugar. Chuck, I'd be super interested in what your eating looks like. Cause I think when people hear cut sugar, it's like kind of intimidating. But anyways, super proud of you, Chuck. That's amazing. Thank you for putting that in there. If we have any other success, go ahead and put that, in the comments, there. And I see Tabitha from Kingsport is in here, our Kingsport office. If you've, ever been in our Kingsport office, you've surely seen Tabitha. Great to see you. Let's see here. What am I missing? Cherry's got another question. If a person is already taking hydroxychloroquine, is there any dangerous interaction with methylene blue added?
No. Mm-mm. Not that I know about. No.
Mm-mm. All right. Thank you, Cherry.
I would probably limit it to 8 drops. It's not going to hurt you.
All right. And this is a perfect aminos question from Bianca. I don't see a non-flavor perfect aminos. Is it the one made by Body Health? Is that the brand you're using? Are you using Perfect Aminos, the brand?
I need to get Jenny to bring that down. If she's listening, I'll show you the one that I use. I just don't think it's flavored. I'll bring that down and we'll show it to you here in a second.
All right. We will get that. And the Perfect Aminos is in powder form. It's powder form. You put it in a cup of water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It comes in capsules as well. But I'll run up and get it, because I want to show you the thing that I actually take.
All right. Well, we'll see if that comes here.
Matter of fact, I may mix up some right now. I could use a little bit.
Are you going to work out after this? A little dose, extra dose of
protein. But I do need to stretch a little bit. Yeah. I had a little mini workout this morning, but not enough. Okay. You know, I had a really early pellet. I had to go in early on. So I didn't really get the full workout, a little bit of stretching. So I probably will.
You know who I think got a better workout than you? I think that's my grandma Mary, because she's working out
every day.
She works out with TriStar Strength and Rehab. She's going, I want to say, 3 to 4 times a week. She is absolutely killing it. Great to see you, Grandma Mary. Saw you. Okay, so Katie's saying that is the one he has, is the Body Health brand. Katie's saying you got Barry.
I have Barry. Well, it doesn't taste Barry to me. I was going to call for the Perfect Aminos to come down here, but can't get a hold of her.
It'll come. So Katie's saying it's the mixed berry flavored one that you have from Body Health. And Bianca, this is
If it's mixed berry, it's always true. It's very. Katie always knows the answers. Knows. You know, we call her. What do we call her? Google?
We call her PM Google. And that's why you guys got to pay attention to the comments as we're having our show every week.
I may say the wrong things. I'll tell you what, if that's berry flavored, it doesn't taste like berries. There's really no good taste to me on that. I just guzzle it down.
So Katie's saying you have the Advanced Bio brand. Advanced Bio brand, and we'll wait on that. I'm sure we'll see where your Perfect Aminos. Plus, you got
to
take
it. If Jenny's listening, she can bring it down to me.
All right. Let's see here. If I'm missing a question, guys, let me know. And I'm going to try to see if I can't see any that I've missed as we wait on some Perfect Aminos. One thing I do have to compliment Mom on is your set is incredible. Like, I'm looking
the
at
set. What your do you mean? Set. My guitars and all that?
Yeah, but look at the live on air is perfectly placed.
Oh, yeah.
It is just incredible. All right, let's see here. We're going to wait on Perfect Aminos. It seems it's the Advanced Bio brand, and I'm going to put this up here for anybody who has not watched Mounjaro, better than Ozempic. We'll let you decide. Watch the episode. You decide if it's better than Ozempic. People like Chuck have just had incredible success on Mounjaro, but there's been many, many success stories on Ozempic and semaglutide as well.
I love them both.
It's really super cool. It's super, super
interesting. To me, they're the drugs of the century for sure.
I don't think anybody would dispute that. Do you?
No, not unless they can't tolerate it on their stomach. You have a few people that just can't take it, but it's relatively few, and then they usually get used to it. Sometimes if they do get a little nauseated on Ozempic, I'll give them a little Zofran to take with it.
Yeah.
While they kind of get used to, you know, you start out low and build your dose up.
You also are talking about like the other benefits besides weight loss. You would still use it for weight loss at the beginning, though, right? Or are the other benefits just kind of added benefits?
As far as the cardio protection and the probable reversal of fatty liver disease and protection of your kidneys, diabetes and weight loss, everything follows suit. Hey, Jenny, have you got some Perfect Aminos you can bring down? She's got them right here.
There we go.
Thank you. Let's see. All right, here they are. You see that?
Okay. So Advanced Bio Nutritionals. Yeah, that is mixed berry pop.
You're right. It is. It just doesn't taste like a berry to me, but it looks just white. I mean,
I'm going to put this up
again.
How can
it be mixed berry? How can it be mixed berry when it's pure white?
I'm going to put this up again, guys. In case you didn't know, Katie knows.
It does smell that is, like a berry. Though.
That is mixed berry.
It is. It is.
Okay, Rose just hopped on. Let's answer Rose's question. Can you have adult beverages when taking methylene blue? What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, you know, you could. It's not going to interact with it.
Yep. All right.
As a matter of fact, you could probably put it in an adult beverage. And
I was afraid you were going to go there.
It may give it a color. Adult beverages aren't that healthy for you, but it's not going to hurt you.
Let's see here. I'm going to put this up from it seems I missed this from Mama B's place. What is the difference between perfect aminos and BCAAs? BCAAs means branched chain amino acids.
Yeah, there's just three of them, and there's eight perfect aminos. So if you're just taking branched chains, then you need more. I like branched chain. Most people that lift weights take branched chains. They're responsible for a lot of muscle growth. But you need all of them. That's the deal about well, hold on, hang on. What are you doing?
It's taking.
Oh, you don't want Izzy to come on?
No, it's not time.
Oh, it's not time yet.
Guys,
I thought we were about to end. She wanted to get on the show.
Izzy's anxious to.
Absolutely. Yeah, she wanted to get on the show.
She wants some screen time. Izzy's going to be coming here in just a second, guys, along with Dr. Ike. So the difference is the number of amino acids.
Yeah. Let's see. There's eight. There's eight essential amino acids that are all right here in the right proportion. Some people say there's nine, but there's really eight amino acids essential.
So why would somebody take branched chain amino acids if there's perfect aminos out there? Is there a philosophy?
You wouldn't have to, really.
Okay. So it's not like
the branched chain amino acids are leucine, isoleucine, and valine. So and they're in here. So yeah, they're all in here. So that's just better than just the branched chains.
Super interesting. Seems Mama B saying I tried A2 milk and did very well with it.
Yeah, I like A2 milk. That's the only one I can tolerate.
It seems Jack's wanting us to invest in Lily. Maybe we're too late. I don't know.
I don't like to recommend stocks to people because they always are disappointed.
This is
best for the long term.
That
might be a good long term investment, but you know, you can't. It's very hard to day trade.
We're gonna stick to health and wellness questions. let's see here. Ruth has a question. Thank you, Ruth. Is there a connection between bioidentical hormones and thinning hair? How to fix?
That's a great question. In general, bioidentical hormones are going to help your hair. In general, though, hair loves estrogen. It doesn't like testosterone, especially if it's converting to dihydrotestosterone. So a lot of times we'll check those levels of DHT if you seem to be losing a little bit of hair with hormone replacement. So if it is, it's going to be either the testosterone or the DHEA, which is a testosterone precursor for women, then those two could cause a little hair thinning. But, usually if you're getting adequate estrogen, then it's not going to happen unless you just overdo the testosterone or DHEA. But there's ways of correcting that, especially in women. You know, a lot of times I use oral minoxidil. I use a little bit of low dose finasteride, unless you're of childbearing age. And of course, we have our new Happy Healthy Hair.
That's right.
Vitamin that's really good. Has a bunch of good stuff in it, which I think is, you know, we put all the good stuff in there.
There's Happy Healthy Hair, or Healthy Happy Hair. The newest edition of the Dr. Rogers formula is in the offices. This is such a great question though, and one that, you know, I know you guys deal with a lot in office. So
yeah, most people, their hair thins as they get older because they don't have enough hormones. But boy, we saw a lot of hair loss with COVID.
Yeah.
I dealt with one of those today.
Ruth, I hope that helps. I'm going to put this up from Holly because Holly, I totally agree. Thank you for putting this in here. Dr. Rogers is the best doctor. Thank you for saying that, Holly. That's so sweet. All right. I see, you know, Jack's already, he's been thinking about this for a long time. He's got Lily in his portfolio. He's good to go.
He's smart.
All right, guys. I see it. We're going to get Izzy in the building. Dr. Ike, we're going to close out this show.
I think they've already left.
Did we have them just for that window?
I must have. Yeah, maybe they're out playing in the yard now.
They're like, you had me for then, and you didn't give them any screen time.
I know. Well, hold it. I think I hear them coming. So if anybody still wants to stay on and see them, you can.
Let's get this question from Lisa. You know? Lisa shared the broadcast, as she always does. So I'll make sure we get this for her. Would you give a 50-plus female hormones or OC to reduce testosterone? I'm not sure what OC is.
OTC? Female hormone. Would you give 50-plus female
hormones? So it seems like it's hormones or something else to reduce testosterone. And I'm just not sure.
Oral contraceptives, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
Oral contraceptives will reduce your testosterone? Yeah. I would never give an oral contraceptive to a woman over 50. They're just too dangerous. They can cause blood clots. And I always prefer bioidentical hormones, which are made from plants, yams, identical to what you put out before. But, if your testosterone is high without any hormones, you may have PCOS or something else going on. As a matter of fact, I saw one of my patients this year that had a very high testosterone level with no hormone replacement. And we found out through a CAT scan that she had a Leydig cell tumor of her ovaries that was producing testosterone. So she had to have her ovary taken out. It's a benign tumor. And when she had that out, her testosterone came back to normal. But most of the over 50 women I see don't have enough testosterone. Mm. So, it's an endocrine thing that we need to look into. But I don't like the oral contraceptives I don't like them in general anyway, except for birth control. Mm. They're good for that, but I don't like them for hormonal menopausal management at all. A lot of times, a lot of the GYNs, a woman will go in there 45, 50 years old, and they got when they have all these bad symptoms, and they have two choices. Either you get on the pill or you get on Prozac. I don't think that's I think get on bioidentical hormones.
Lisa, I hope that helps. Thank you so much for putting that in here and sharing the broadcast. Let's get this from Kim, because Kim's been with us all show here, and she's been listening to some of these remedies we've been talking about. So let's get this question from Kim. She's new. Thank you so much for being here, Kim. Welcome in to the Performance Medicine Show. I have MS using B-cell therapy with symptoms of vertigo, fatigue, and almost constant gut pain. I've heard all mentioned today. What do you suggest as a starter remedy? It seems that she's heard all these symptoms today.
One thing you need to look into, besides getting your gut straightened out, and think about low-dose naltrexone. Mm. You've had a lot of luck with that with MS. So look up low-dose naltrexone. It's a wonderful treatment for MS. It's kind of outside the box.
One thing I'll say, Kim, is if you look up LDN or low-dose naltrexone on YouTube with Performance Medicine, so LDN Performance Medicine, you'll see a video from Robin Riddle on Explain This, and you'll also see a couple videos from Dr. Rogers on LDN. We're getting a few more questions here. Mama B's asking, where do you get your A2? Anywhere else other than Earth Air?
Gosh, I get it at Fresh Market. I think even Food City has it now. Mm. I think it's becoming pretty common. Kroger definitely has it. So I'm sure Ingles will have it. Publix is becoming pretty well known, and it's a lot easier to digest than regular milk.
And Fred on YouTube is asking, what is your opinion on Jardiance? Have you heard of this?
Yeah. Yeah. Jardiance is a diabetic medication that actually it works in a little different way than some of the other diabetic medications. It causes you to urinate out the sugar. Mm. So you want to absorb it through your bloodstream. Jardiance and Farxiga are the two that we use. It's a great medicine. It really is. It really, you'll see some weight loss on it. You'll get some cardio protection. I like that class of medications. That's the one that, you know, all these medicines are advertised on TV, and that's the one that they do advertise a lot. And it is a good medicine as an add-on. It's not probably the initial one you would start on, but it's the one you see. Well, it may cause yeast infections or UTIs in women, which it could because you're peeing the sugar out. So you may, but I don't see a lot of that as far as a side effect, but it's a good medicine if you're diabetic.
When you mentioned that, something else popped into my brain. And, cause I've heard you say, methylene blue and UTIs. So you said you'd have every woman in nursing homes on methylene blue. So that's just another use of methylene blue for all the, for all the people in here around the, you know, methylene blue, topic. So that's kind of funny that came up. Thank you, Fred, for that question. Katie's saying it's
I'd like to see every woman in a nursing home with a blue tongue. That means you're taking methylene blue.
Katie's saying A2 is at Kroger. Jack is saying the same thing. So definitely check out Kroger for A2. And man, Izzy did great. That was incredible.
I know. Where's Ike? You want to come on?
Ike is just, come on.
Sometimes Ike feels like he's in the background because Izzy's so cute. Come here.
Come on, Ike. You're still the star of the show.
He's getting a little shy. He's a little getting a little neurotic. I need a treat for him.
How do you think we did? You think we did? I think
you did really good. We got some good questions, that's for sure. I don't know if I answered them good enough, but bunch of good questions.
Everyone here with us live, y'all were a 10. Y'all were incredible.
Yeah, these are smart people that listen to this, you know?
What great questions.
You got to be on your toes, and I'm always kind of tired on Tuesday nights from a long day. But
well, I think you did incredible, man.
We try to muddle through it.
I give you a 9.
Come here. There he is.
I give the audience a 10.
Here's the big boy.
I give Ike a 10.
Ike is definitely a 10. He's definitely a 10. This dog is supposed to be a mini. He is no mini.
He is no mini. That is, he's a mini times 10.
He's heavy. I think he weighs about 65 pounds and he's a mini.
A 65 pound mini. I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
But we do love him. We love him. The Performance Medicine Show loves him. We love Izzy too. Izzy's a star. Goodness. All right, guys, we're gonna call it a show. We love you guys. Thank y'all so much for hanging out with us every single Tuesday. To everyone in the Performance Medicine family, you guys are amazing. Thank y'all for all the amazing work you do in our offices. And thank you. You guys are hanging out with us on the show. Huge shout out to the Performance Medicine team. We love you. Doc, thank you, man.
Good night, Ben.
This was awesome.
See you soon.
This was awesome. See you guys.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Don't go away.
Thanks, guys, for listening to this episode of the podcast. Please share the podcast with your friends. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. We will see you guys next time.